talking hookworms. The Milligan Institute have been working on a clinical program funded by the Health Research Council to explore the therapeutic potential of human hookworms. Their aim is to sort of ultimately, I guess, find out the treatment options for a range of inflammatory and autoimmune diseases, including celiac, asthma, allergies, multiple sclerosis, and other bowel diseases. Dr. Tom Mules, who's a clinician working with the Milligan Institute of Medical Research, joins us in our Wellington studio. Kia ora, Tom.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Now, first, I need to be very blunt. Do you have a hookworm inside your body right now?
Not me, no. No. I'm thinking about it, but not currently.
After doing research on this, I'm kind of thinking about it and quite fascinated too. I mean, for years, worms have always been sort of seen as a negative thing to have in our bodies. I remember as a child and even as a parent now, you know, we worm ourselves. What made you interested to investigate this potential huge impact that hookworms could have on a person's health?
Well, the first thing I would say is hold fire on self-dosing yourself with hookworm. Let us do the research first and then
and then
you can decide. Let's see if it's beneficial. But this whole idea of hookworms as a potential therapy has come about from epidemiology. So if you take a map of the world and look at countries that have high rates of hookworm infection, and then you get a map of the world and look at countries that have high rates of autoimmune or inflammatory conditions, like all the diseases you've mentioned, they're essentially inverse. So countries with high rates of hookworm infections seem to have very low rates of autoimmune disease. So this led to this idea about whether, you know, hookworms actually protective against these diseases. And so it led to work in the lab looking at how hookworm affects the body. And it's amazing. It secretes these little molecules into your bloodstream which down-regulate, so suppress parts of your immune system so that it can survive in the body. And it just happens to be that those parts of the immune system are the same parts that cause these autoimmune conditions. So, you know, that's where the idea of hookworm came from. So, that, you know, it comes under this idea of the hygiene hypothesis. If we get exposed to infections, that actually regulates our immune system so we don't develop these diseases.
Interesting. So how do you introduce the worms to the human body? Is it through a pill, or do you literally sort of put a plaster with a little, you know, worm on it, on your skin? Or how does it work?
Good question. So you clearly have been doing your research. So I think to answer this question, it's important to explain the life cycle of this worm, because it's very, very interesting. So there's lots of different types of worms, or parasites is the kind of umbrella term. So the one we're working with is a human hookworm. So one that's evolved over millennia with humans to live with humans. And that's called Nicator americanus is the one that we're using.
And sorry to interrupt, but is that different to the worms that we might catch off our cats or something like that?
Absolutely. So those ones make you sick. You know, they're dog hookworms. So human hookworms are different. We don't have human hookworms in New Zealand. And that's because for them to infect someone, they actually need to develop from eggs that are present in people's stool that are infected with hookworm. They need to end up in warm tropical soil to then develop into larvae, which are able to infect someone if they touch their skin. So we don't have those warm tropical conditions, unfortunately, in New Zealand, hookworm can't survive. So the way it infects people is we put these larvae, and so what we've done at the Milligan Institute is developed this method of harvesting the eggs to this larvae, which is still microscopic, you can't see it. Mm. We put these larvae on a gauze and then just place it on the participant's forearm. And it makes its way through the skin. It's got these heat sensors on it. Makes its way through the skin to the blood supply, to the lymphatic system, where it travels to the lungs, matures, and then makes its way up your trachea, your breathing tube, and then you swallow it. It goes down through your stomach and ends up in your small intestine, where it latches on to one of your little villi, your projections in your small bowel, and it can live there for up to 5, sometimes 10 years, just doing its thing.
And you ideally want it to stay there for that amount of time? You know, say if I was ill, would I then after 5 or 10 years, I'd get another hookworm put inside me?
Possibly. Mm. You know, this is still early stage research. I can't tell you for sure whether it works. So as I said, I don't want you going out and infecting yourself. But what we've seen as a clinician is that people are already doing that. People are buying these things on kind of this underground market, importing them from overseas and self-dosing themselves to try and treat their disease. Now, I would never endorse someone to do that, and that is because we don't know what kind of worm they are getting. Are they getting this human hookworm, which is potentially beneficial, or are they getting other worms like the dog hookworm and making themselves very sick? And we don't know whether it works or not. So, you know, I'm not saying do that, but because people are already doing that and there's this anecdotal evidence of it working, it is, as clinicians, as researchers, we feel like we have this obligation to actually do the research and work it out so we can inform people.
Which you are doing in Wellington. Where do you get the hookworms from? You said sort of a really warm tropical climate. Do you import them from overseas?
So we imported our first lot. Mm. But now we have done a healthy volunteer study, and we're just coming to the completion of that through the Meligan Institute, where we have infected a cohort of people that don't have any diseases, and they have become our reservoir of infection. So they donate their stool to the Meligan Institute, and we get the eggs, and then we grow them up into these larvae, which can then go on and infect other people.
Oh, so the volunteers you've had so far, it's literally just their stools. You're not actually putting the worms into anyone's body just yet.
No. So for them to develop eggs so that we can then use those eggs to infect other people, we had to infect them. So they've got the hookworm living inside them, living in their small intestine, just happily beavering away, and they bring in their stool and we collect it and then get the eggs to then infect other people.
And why did you choose healthy people to do this trial on? Why didn't you try, you know, someone with bowel disease or MS?
Yeah. So I think what's really, really important with research and early research is that it's safe. You know, the last thing we want to do is harm anyone. So we took people that are very healthy, you know, not on any immunosuppressing medications, and infected them, and have shown through that healthy volunteer that it is very safe. It's well tolerated, and we've looked in depth into their immune system and how it affects their immune system. And so now we are taking it to people who have diseases. And the first disease we're taking it to is one called ulcerative colitis, which, along with Crohn's disease, comes under the umbrella term of inflammatory bowel disease, because that's my particular area of interest, being a gastroenterology doctor.
Yeah, and that it's a terrible disease to have, you know, anything with the bowels. How long have you been doing that particular aspect of the research?
So we have been recruiting people since August last year, and we're about halfway through recruiting our number. I agree. It's a terrible disease, and we know that over the next 10 years in New Zealand, or we predict that the rate is actually going to double. The rate of inflammatory bowel disease is going to double over the next 10 years in New Zealand. Why is that?
Yeah.
Good question. So, you know, clearly we don't have hookworms in New Zealand, so there must be other factors at play. And environmental factors seem to be the main thing here. You need to have the genetic susceptibility to go on to develop these diseases, but then there has to be something in the environment that then, you know, flicks the switch. And those things are, you know, the same premise as hookworm, so the hygiene hypothesis. So we're becoming more sanitized, we're using more antibiotics. Is it something in our diet, more emulsifiers in our diet, more processed foods? You know, those are the kind of questions that We all suspect these things, but we just don't know for sure.
Yeah, right. So this research that you're doing, it is a real long-term research program in a sense. You're not going to be able to see these results for another 5 years, or can you see results already?
So the current study we're doing is a year-long study. The people we're focusing on are people whose ulcerative colitis is currently under control, but to keep it under control, they're having to take 4 to 8 tablets a day, which obviously they don't like doing. So the beauty they see in hookworm is it potentially just being able to sit in your small intestine doing its thing and just not having to worry about it, not having to get up in the morning and take all these tablets, just being able to get on with your life essentially. So, you know, we go into this research realistic, and I think you have to be as a researcher, that perhaps it might not work, but because the rate of inflammatory bowel disease is increasing so steadily in New Zealand, we need to keep finding new treatments and really advancing medical literature.
Yeah, I like it that it's going back to sort of nature hookworms, you know, it's not drugs.
And other people love that as well. They really like that factor of it.
We've had a few text messages in. Someone said, I was in the hookworm study. Absolutely painless. So good to hear the study has got an exciting future. And another person has said, can you please ask your guest if there's any symptoms registered by those infected in New Zealand by the hookworm? When the hookworm enters the skin, can you feel that?
Yeah. So we have shown that it's safe. There are no serious side effects. People in places like India, where there's hookworm everywhere, do get sick from human hookworm, and that's because they've got hundreds of these things in their body, because it's everywhere in the environment. They're getting repeated doses, so they get abdominal pain, they can get iron deficiency. But we are giving what's called a controlled hookworm infection. We're giving 30 larvae, and the beauty about it is they don't replicate in the body. They produce eggs, but they don't replicate. So whatever dose we give someone is the only dose they get. So when we put the gauze on the forearm, they make their way through the skin. Some people feel itchy, a little bit stingy. And when they take off the gauze after 24 hours, they might see about the size of an old 50-cent coin, just little tiny blisters where it's burrowed through the skin. And that rash can last a week or two and then goes away. When it matures in the lungs and then goes up the trachea and gets swallowed down, as it's making its way to the small intestine and setting up in the small intestine, people can get some abdominal discomfort, abdominal cramps, which generally last a couple of weeks but do go away. So we've had a few people who have said, you know, this doesn't feel that comfortable, but we've, you know, counselled them through it, said, you know, just it's going to go away over the next 1 to 2 weeks, and it has, and now they're doing really, really well. So overall, very well tolerated.
Interesting. There was someone else has just messaged in. There was a full clinical trial in Christchurch recently, around 2016-18, which this person took part in to test the effect of celiac disease. Are you working much with celiac disease too?
So we're not at the moment, and I think celiac disease has been put on the back burner with hookworm. You know, that was with some of our colleagues in Australia, did that study, and Christchurch was a site, and I was involved with it down there. The trial has probably shown that it doesn't work with celiac disease, but, you know, we do have some concerns about how the trial was set up and the quality of their hookworm, because that's what we think we've done very well at the Meligan Institute. We've got quality hookworms. But I think for the moment it's been put on the back burner. And it does raise a really interesting question. You know, is hookworm going to treat someone's disease, or is it actually too late? Do we need to be targeting people who are at really high risk of developing celiac disease or ulcerative colitis because they've got a family history before it actually develops? Can hookworm treat these diseases, or is it there to prevent a disease? So that's a really important question.
Yeah, this person continues on and said it was fascinating but not successful, though there was evidence of it helping a little bit with celiac disease. So do you need, if anyone's listening and they would like to get involved or perhaps donate their bodies, are you still looking for any bodies to try these hookworms?
Donating their bodies isn't quite the right term.
I'm sorry.
if they want to be participants in the trial. So we've completed our healthy volunteer study at the moment. And so we are looking for people with ulcerative colitis, and we've almost finished recruiting in that study. But if there are people in the Wellington region, Hutt region, who are interested in hookworm and have ulcerative colitis, they're more than welcome to get in contact with the Maligan Institute, and I can give them more information.
Fantastic. And someone else has just last text, someone said, is there a risk of the hookworm then spreading and becoming uncontrolled in New Zealand, like you mentioned it is in India?
So the answer to that is no. So people in New Zealand practice Western hygiene, and so the eggs get flushed down the toilet. And also, as I mentioned earlier, for the eggs to then be able to infect someone else by developing into these larvae, they need to develop in warm tropical soil. And at this stage, we don't have those conditions in New Zealand. So we know that if the hookworm eggs do make it into the soil, they die.
All the best with your research, Dr. Tom Yules, working with hookworms at the Maligan Institute of Medical Research. And please keep us up to date.
Will do. Thank you for having me.